What a joy it is to be here tonight. I'm telling you what, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I done sat over there and got tore up. Amen. I mean, I ain't the only dog named Rover running in this pack either. Don't y'all know that the majority of y'all are Baptist? Y'all know y'all in that? We supposed to be reverent in the sanctuary. I looked up sanctuary one time. Webster defined it as a place where birds dwell. Maybe it is a sanctuary. I don't know. There's some birds in here, but anyway. I'm telling you what, I like to get loose like this every once in a while. Amen. If it feels good, shout. Amen. If it don't feel good, shout, and shout till it does feel good. Amen. Amen. Some of you in here tonight might not know who my wife is, and she's somewhere back there on that left-hand side. Stand up, baby, so everybody can see my good-looking wife. Right there. That's Mary Ann. We also have two of our daughters here and their families and grandkids, but I'll spare you all of that. But anyway, whoa, Lord, the high sheriff's here. Ain't that good? Amen. And I appreciate you, James. And that choir and this singing, wow, been great. And I want to tell you something. I got a challenge for you. Don't leave this blessing in here. Take it out of here. Amen. Tell everybody you can hear for a week or two about what God did on New Year's night. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to know tonight, if you know me, you know that I long for a day when there's no longer this church or that church or the other church or that kind of church. There's just the church of the living God. Amen. Boy, this is a little sample of what heaven's going to be like. Now, I want you to know tonight, before I get started, I'm preaching the first part of a two-part sermon. Brother Dennis Farr is going to preach the second part of it. So I got to be the setup man tonight, or I get the privilege to be. I'm going to do my best to get mine done and get out of the way and let you hear Brother Dennis. How about that? Everybody, if you will, turn to Genesis 22. I'm going to start reading with there, verses 1 through 19. And then I'll flip over to Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. You know this story by heart. Would you please stand, if you will, in honor and respect to the reading of the text scripture. Genesis 22, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men. They rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now I want to read Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. According that God was able, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. Before you take your seat, I want to ask you to pray with me and for me as I try to lift this thought out of that passage. Three servants that God wants on his team in 2017. Three servants. You pray with me. Father, I simply ask, Lord, that you would bring out of me what you put in me, God, in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I'm thankful for the portion of your spirit I've already felt tonight, but God, we need you. Lord, pour yourself out through the preaching tonight, I pray, God. Lord, anoint me afresh and anew to do that which you've called me to do, Lord, to preach your blessed gospel. Speak to our hearts, move us, convict us. Lord, let your will be done right now in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. Tonight, I'm under a time constraint. 30 minutes. I can't say my name in 25, so it's going to be a short sermon. Amen. But it shall be my intention to do three things tonight with this sermon. Number one, hit it. Number two, get it. Number three, quit it. Amen. I'm grateful to God for placing it upon the heart of Pastor Tom Kennedy of the Friendship Baptist Church in LaGrange, Georgia, to sponsor this community-wide joint worship service on New Year's Day. What a way to bring in 2017. Amen. I'm grateful to Pastor Tim Tidwell and the congregation of Oakside Baptist for hosting this. And I'm grateful to all the churches and individuals who are in attendance and had a part in this. And I'm grateful for all of those who have already or will share their talents. And I, as you, am looking forward to hearing a good preacher preach when Brother Dennis Farr takes the pulpit in just a little while. Somebody say amen right there. Pastor Tom Kennedy assigned a theme to this meeting. It was one mind, one mouth, and one service. This theme is derived from Romans 15:6, which states, Ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there has ever been a time that Bible-believing Christians and churches in Troup County, Georgia, need to come together and rally around this theme, bless God, it's now. It's now. We're in trouble, folks. Amen. Yes, we are many individual Christians, many individual Christian churches, and many different Christian denominations here tonight. However, in Christ, we are all members of His body. Therefore, we should think with one mind, which is the mind of Christ. We should speak with one mouth, which is of His holy scriptures. And we should be in one service, His service. Amen. You see, we all serve the same King. Oh, I don't think y'all heard me tonight. I said, we all serve the same King. Amen. We're all on the same team. And as I prayed, I've got this, it just got a hold of me. Don't you think it's time we start acting like we're on the same team? Amen. Listen, as I prayed and pondered and studied over this sermon, God has not allowed me to get away from this text scripture tonight that I've read and you're hearing. Now, I don't fully understand what God wants to do here tonight with this sermon. And in reality, it's none of my business what God wants to do. But I do know that it's his will for Aaron McCullough to preach the sermon I'm about to preach here tonight. And I'm not going to take a whooping for it. Amen. I'm going to do it, and if you like it, fine. If you don't like it, fine. Amen. Now, when I examined the theme that Pastor Tom Kennedy assigned to this meeting, I did not hear him calling us to expand our individualism or our talents or our opinions or our denominationalism. However, I did hear a clarion call and a challenge for us, the Christians and the Christian churches in Troup County, Georgia, to begin to function as a team. Yeah. Listen, are you hearing me tonight? My wife and I are as opposite as day is from night. I'm tall, she's not real tall. I'm ugly, she's good looking. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, I think like a man, she thinks like a woman. We're as part as two individuals can be, but guess what? We're a team. Woo! And being a team don't mean you have to have uniformity. It just means you got to be on the same team together. Well, amen. In Romans 12:5, Paul says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Paul is describing there a team. Now, I like what he says. Every one members of another. Amen. Listen, you may not like the way that I part my hair. Or the way that my hair has departed. You may not like the clothes I wear. You might not like the way I walk and the way I talk. You might not like the way I worship. You may not like tonight that I preach from a King James Version Bible and that I'm unapologetically an old wind-sucking, snot-slinging, hell-fired damnation preacher. You may not even like my chosen denomination tonight. And it is chosen. I'm a Southern Baptist by choice. And conviction, but by choice. But it's a good part. Y'all hang on. I got some good news about this thing. Jesus got it before they did. Amen. Woo! But you see, you may not like 1,000 things about me. But here's where the joke's on you. Because in Jesus, you're a part of me and I'm a part of you, and there ain't a thing you can do about it. So, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. Amen. We're on the same team. We're on Team Jesus, and we agree upon far more than we disagree. Listen, and in Christ Jesus, you cannot no more be separated from me than I can be separated from you, because his royal blood now flows through our veins as children of God. Amen. You my brother and sister by another mother, but we got the same daddy. Oh, somebody ought to be helping me a little bit right there. Amen. And we are team. Now, as we look at that text scripture I've read tonight, we see a team. Listen, I want to talk about it for a little bit. Three kinds of servant God wants on his team in 2017. You know the first kind of servant God wants on his team? I read it to you. Hope you got it. God wants servants on his team in 2017 who are willing to watch after the donkeys. Amen. Listen, let's look at that team. You got on the team God, who is orchestrating this whole test for Abraham. You've got Abraham, who is the father of faith. You've got Isaac, who is the representation of fallen man. You've got the angel who had a message from God. You've got the ram who is a representation of Jesus. And then you've got the donkey who is a donkey. Amen. And you got the two servants who were assigned to watch the donkey. Now note, I'm about to get happy right here. And note, the donkey has more status and value than the two servants do. You say, how do you know that? Well, you don't see anybody assigned to watch after them, do you? No, you don't. You assign folks to watch after what's valuable to you. Now listen. Now here's what I want you to make sure you don't miss this. Don't get this. If you don't get this, you're going to miss the rest of the sermon. It was only after Abraham assigned the men the task of watching the donkey that the miracle of God's intervention on behalf of Isaac occurred. Oh, let me repeat that. It was only after Abraham assigned two old nobodies to watch after a donkey that the rest of the miracle took place. Listen. Because they were faithful to watch the donkey, Abraham and Isaac could go worship. And I need 45 minutes right here on this one little point, but I don't have it. You see, it's evident that Abraham was made of some different stuff than you and I. Because I guarantee you, any one of us Baptists in this building tonight, if God said, I'm going to require you to give your child's life up, we ain't going to be worshiping. We're going to be belly aching, moaning and groaning and crying and begging God, don't do it. But what did Abraham do? Oh, Lord, this is getting good. Amen. Abraham went and worshiped God in the dark night of his soul. How could he do it? Because them old boys were watching the donkeys. Listen, because they watched the donkey, Abraham could make his great proclamation of faith. You know what that was? You two boys stay right here and watch this donkey. We're going to worship, sacrifice, and we will be back. My Lord. I used to just think it was a good idea that Abraham believed that God could raise him back up, but it's in the Bible. I read it to you tonight. Because they watched the donkey, the angel could make his proclamation that there's a ram caught in the thicket. Use him. Because they watched the donkey, the ram could be revealed. Abraham didn't see him. Amen. And because they watched the donkey, they would witness faith modeled on a scale that has never been matched. Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the death and dead, and whence also he received him in figure. Now, common sense teaches me that these two old boys, if they weren't professional donkey watchers, they at least had a working knowledge on how to watch a donkey. Because you see, God doesn't assign you to do what you're not capable of doing. Well, that needed an amen. But then they were obedient to the master's command. Now here's the good part. I submit to you that just as the Bible says in Matthew 10:42, that whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So the watchers of the donkey share in the greatest act of faith ever recorded in the Bible. You see, teamwork makes the dream work. Amen. Amen. Listen, I submit to you, God wants servants on his team in 2017 who are willing to watch the donkeys. Listen to me.
God doesn't need any more superstars. Well, somebody help me a little bit. We got too many preachers and too many teachers and too many singers who are legends in their own minds. Woo! Wow, I'm a superstar for Jesus is what they think. God don't need any more superstars. He doesn't need more angels making proclamation. He doesn't need more people on the mountaintop where the miracle's about to happen. But what he needs is more folk at the bottom of the mountain willing to watch the donkeys for Jesus. You realize tonight, I'm not doing this derogatorily, but very uplifting. There's somebody sitting back in a nursery tonight. I don't know their name. You probably don't know their name. And I'm not calling your children donkeys if they're back there, but they're watching the donkeys tonight so you can get the blessing. Amen. We need some folks to pull up beside the pastor and watch the donkeys in his life a little while. I need some time on this. So he can be the man of God that God wants him to be. We're too busy chasing the donkeys down than to do the work of God. My Lord, that's good preaching. Whew. God wants servants on his team in 2017 who are willing to watch the donkeys. But number two, God wants servants on his team in 2017 willing to dwell in the cellar or the basement. And first, I'm not going to read it. You can turn over and read it all you want to. In 1 Chronicles 27, 25 through 34, you're going to see where King David was doing what Donald Trump's been doing for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Ever since he got elected, what's he been doing? He's been assembling a cabinet, helpers. And you'll read where King David did that one time. Now listen, there's a long litany on that list. And it said, they called him by name and said, this one was over that. This one was over that. The other one was over this. Another one was over that. This list of officials from David's kingdom can teach us some lessons about serving the Lord. You know what it teaches us? Each person had a special place of service. I want you to hear me tonight. God chooses what we do. He chooses where we do it. And he chooses to what extent we do it. Listen, we serve him, not the other way around. No one else can do the job that you've been specially designed to do. I'm not going to drop plow here, but I'm just going to tell you this real quick. You're looking at the only me you'll ever see. I'm the only Aaron McCullough from eternity past, eternity present, to eternity future. This is it. This is it right here. Nobody else has my fingerprint. Nobody else has my DNA. Nobody else has my voice print. Nobody else is me. So you know what that tells me? And I'm about to shout here. That tells me I'm God's idea. And guess what? If I'm God's idea, I'm a good idea. And so are you. Now this old boy over here can preach. That one can preach. Them can preach. But they can't preach like I can preach. All of them preach better than I can preach, but that ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying they can't do it like Aaron McCullough can, because they ain't Aaron McCullough. Woo! That's good, ain't it? You're the only you that will ever be. So in 2017, do your part on the team. Amen. Each person was called by name. You know what ought to make you want to get up and run a little bit? God knows your name. Woo! I'd go up to Donald Trump and I'd say, I'm Aaron McCullough. Some he might say, who? But when I get on my knees in prayer and I said, it's me again, Lord. He said, welcome back, Aaron. Oh, come talk to me, son. I know who you are. I knew you before I formed you in your mama's womb. I know you, boy. Listen, he cares for for and keeps his own, but each served in different capacities. Aren't you glad that we ain't all cut out of the same mold to do the same thing? I don't know if the world could put up with about, there's probably 300 or 400 of us in here tonight. I don't know if the world could put up with 3 or 4 carbon copies of Aaron McCullough. It probably would usher Jesus' second coming right on in. He would probably turn to the Father and say, "Let me go, Father. It's just too great of a thing for them to absorb. Too much greatness loosed at one time. Somebody help me a little bit right there." Woo! We all have different capacity. Thank God what I'm good at, you may not be good at, but what you're good at, I may not be good at. But we're a team. We're a team. Each person was placed where they were and where they are by the King. And let me tell you something tonight. Anywhere God places you is an important place. Amen. He knows where he can best use your talents for his glory and the edification of the whole church. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual fervent work or effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. But as you begin to go down that cabinet that David had assembled, in 1 Chronicles 27:28, you'll find a strange verse. It says, "And over the sellers of oil was Joash." Now think about that a minute. He was in essence saying one of the cabinet members had his office on the penthouse of the Trump Tower. Another one of David's cabinet had his office in the White House on the main floor. The other one had his office in the Pentagon, in the heart of operations. Every one of them had a prominent place. But then it got to Joash. And they said, "Oh, Joash, he's responsible for the oil barrels that are kept in the cellar. You know what? Folks don't come visit your real office often when your office is in the cellar. Because it's musty and it stinks and it's cold and it's damp and it's foreboding and it's uninviting." Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for what's coming. But you got to understand something. All in the Bible, many times, is a representation of the Spirit of God. And in Joash's day, that oil, that olive oil in those barrels was a commodity. And it represented the king's great wealth. And what did the king told him? He said, "Boy, I want you to dwell in the cellar. But in the cellar will be my treasure." And I'm trying to, oh Lord, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? The love of God. And he's trusted it to us. I don't need you to be a king. I don't need you to be a prince. I don't need you to be a superstar. I need you to get down where my treasure is. And keep my treasure. Oh Lord. It might go day after day. He's all alone. Day after day. He inventories the same old barrels of oil. Maybe he moves some in and moves some out. But he's in the cellar alone. But here's the shouting ground. Every once in a while, the king will stop by. And he's going to check on his treasure. Oh my Lord, are y'all getting this? And when the king drops by for just a little while, you've got him all to yourself. His folks focus is on you. And bless God, you'll come up out of the cellar singing, I've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. We get to be with the Lord. Oh, Lord. There's one more, and I got about 5 more minutes. And that's about how much voice I got left. About 5 minutes. When you get to be an old wore out war horse, you don't preach by the clock, you preach by your voice. Some of you preachers say amen. Listen, God wants servants on his team in 2017 who are willing to watch after the donkeys, dwell in the cellar. But then number three, who are willing to forfeit their freedom to achieve and advance the kingdom of God. Now I want to just talk to you for a few minutes. I want you in your mind to go with me to the story of Paul and Silas. You remember when they got beaten and thrown in jail and their feet and hands were made fast in the stocks. Then, I know they weren't Baptist either, because then after about midnight, after they'd done received a beating and thrown in jail, hands and feet in stock, what'd they do? They began to sing. They began to worship God. Had a praise and prayer meeting. Amen. I wonder if they were singing praise songs. Oh, y'all get that when you're on the way home. Amen. Because you know they didn't have a hymnal with them. No, never mind. Amen. Moving on. I was doing good till right then. But listen. There was something bigger at work. Something bigger at work. They got to singing and praising God. Now you got to understand, them prisoners were in there. They knew what was going on. They knew the score. Come on. And their prisons weren't like our prisons of today. They were bad places to be. You had no amenities of any kind. They'd been beaten and stocked, filthy, unsanitary. Bad place to be. And you know if you're one of them prisoners, you've been praying. You've been praying, oh God, get me out of here. God, please make a way. Get me out of here. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of the prayer meeting, prisoners began to hear them. They said, there's something different about them boys. And they began to pay attention. We've had a lot of them claim to be religious. But they didn't do like they're doing. And it got their attention. And maybe they even joined in with them singing. But around the midnight hour, when everything was at its worst, God began to move. And the Bible says an earthquake came and it shook the place. And you know, I can understand in my mind how that an earthquake can make a door come open. You know what I got problems with? Is how that them shackles that were literally bratted on, instead of putting a lock through there, they would put a piece of metal, put it down on the anvil, and brat it. God ain't got no problem with brads. Amen. But when the power failed, the chains fell loose, and the shackles came off. Now, don't you know that in their hearts, and preachers, and prisoners would say, "Woo! Oh, happy day!" But I don't know if it was a big angel or just the moving of the Spirit. I don't know what it was. Something occurred and said, "Listen to me, boys. You're on my team today. None of you are going anywhere." Why was that important? Because if one of them had escaped, the prisoner, the jailer, would have had to carry out their sentence on himself. And if you had one of them in there that had been sentenced to die, then the jailer would have had to die in their place. Or are you with me tonight? But the jailer come running in and he cried out. The Bible said he would have killed himself and he wanted a light. Now I'm going to give you something here. Work on this. If the jailer couldn't see, he needed a light. Neither could Paul see. Paul needed a light. What's the importance of that? Because Paul boldly proclaimed, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here."
Amen.
How did he know it? God.
Amen.
God. But there was a need. Are you here? Are you with me? I'm just about through. There was a need.
Amen.
That they surrendered their will, that the kingdom will of God would be advanced. You know what we need in 2017? We need some hard-headed Baptists who would surrender their will so that the will of God could be done. I'm 5 minutes overtime. I'll send y'all a bill. Amen. Are you with me tonight? There's three kind of servants that God needs on his team tonight. Amen. He needs some servants that's willing to watch the donkeys. Come here, Tom. How long has it been? Whether it be your preacher, school teacher, deacon, good friend, whoever. You just come up to them and you're walking with them. And you know their problem. You know their life. And all of a sudden you say, "I see where God's calling you. Give me the reins to them donkeys in your life. I'm going to hold them. You go do what God wants you to do. Don't worry about the donkeys. I got them. I got them." Oh, hallelujah. How long since you've been down in the cellar? Just stay right there a minute. Down in the cellar, bottom lip out, all pouty face. "Don't nobody love me. Everybody hates me. Preacher put me down here in this cellar doing all this stuff and nobody ever come help me. I'm the only one doing all this." Uh-huh. But too many times, a lot of times, right in the middle of our pity party, the master will come walking in and he'll say, "How's it going, Aaron? How's it going with my oil? You keeping a good check on it for me, son?" I say, "Yeah, Lord. Barrels over there. I got them. Whoa, here's the inventory sheet right here. See. I got it all accounted for." And you know what he's going to look at me and say? "Well done."
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I ain't going to forget it, boy. There come a day, you're going to be ruler over many." And then there comes a day where we have to surrender our will for the will of others. And we may be stuck in that cell and can't get out. And we may never know the reason why. But this night they did. Because a jailer cried out. What did he cry out to Paul after he had got there?
"Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Y'all do that in the microphone loud.
"Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Woo! And he said, "Oh, this is the reason I'm here. It's not for me. It's for him."
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Amen.